If you've enjoyed The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. For any size donation, we'll send you an autographed copy of my book, Celebrating the Saints. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. You can also make a gift by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And Jesus is likening his act of compassion and mercy on the Sabbath day to exactly the way God always loves and provides you with your daily bread, Sabbath day or not.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of John.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Greetings, people loved by God. Last time we left off with Jesus finding the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years and whom he had healed in the temple. And apparently there, Jesus actually introduced himself to the man so that he knew the name of his benefactor. You recall that when the Pharisees wanted to know who is the man who said, take up your bed and walk, the former invalid at first had no clue. But Jesus finds him again and lets him know who he is. So on to today's reading from John 5, starting at the 15th verse. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 5, verses 15 through 24. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, help us to love your word above gold, above fine gold, and always to regard it as our greatest treasure. Preserve us from error and false doctrine. Uphold us in the truth of your word, that we may cling to it by your grace, and at last be brought by it to your heavenly kingdom. We ask it for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's dig in. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. People are sometimes troubled that the man would go and spill the beans of Jesus' identity, though, as we noted last time, they would surely have had their suspicions anyway. The great expositor of Scripture, St. Cyril of Alexandria, in Book 2 of his John Commentary, argues on this verse that the man wasn't trying to betray Jesus, but to save those who asked him. And he argues this by the man's words. He doesn't repeat back their accusation of Sabbath breaking. Instead, he says, Jesus is the one who healed me, thus St. Cyril. But this is nothing else than the act of one who wanted to make known his physician. So their persecution against Jesus is first attributed here and elsewhere in the other Gospels to his acts of healing done on the Sabbath, to the mercy shown on the Sabbath day. And they think that is a massive problem and a contradiction of the law, as we saw last time, as though Moses had forbidden pity and compassion for the sick on that day. But Jesus shows them that they haven't thought it through properly. Here's how. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." St. Cyril of Alexandria, again, is so helpful. He points out that just because it's the Sabbath day, the Father doesn't keep the sun from rising or giving rain or letting the fruits of the earth grow. He keeps on sustaining the world in mercy, even on the day of rest. And Jesus is likening his act of compassion and mercy on the Sabbath day to exactly the way God always loves and provides you with your daily bread, Sabbath day or not. Ministering to the needs of man is not forbidden on Sabbath. But if Jesus was in hot water before, when he in their mind violated the Sabbath, he crosses a much more serious line in his answer. Now it's not just violating the Sabbath they fault him for, but much more blasphemy. He was calling God his Father in a way that they could not and did not mistake. This is no fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man kind of talk. It was clear to them that Jesus was asserting that he was the Father's Son and in no metaphorical sense. And the reason they get this is because doing the same action or work as the Father does can only happen if you share the same essence as the Father, if you're one in nature with him. Back to St. Cyril again. Things that have the same nature as each other will work alike. Things whose natures are diverse have different modes of working too, and are not in all respects the same. Book 2 on John. We don't really have time to dig into it, but I just want to note that the clear word of Jesus, "whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise," was one of the passages that led the Western part of the Christian church to add the filioque in the creed, that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son. Because if the Father spirates the Spirit and the Son does whatever the Father does, then the Son also spirates the Spirit. Now, when people nowadays sometimes say Jesus never claimed to be God or equal to God, one of the best responses is to tell them, you know, the folks that originally heard him and that didn't like him, as well as the folks that heard him and did like him, they were both persuaded that he actually claimed exactly that, to be God himself, the Son of the Father. Witness today's text. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So that you may marvel. Look, they'd seen a man long paralyzed, walking around restored and whole, and that was a marvel. But Jesus has bigger marvels than that to show them. And he goes right to the resurrection and judgment and honor. The Father raises the dead So also the Son gives life to whomever he wills. The Father has handed over all judgment to the Son in order that all people may worship and honor the Son just as they worship and honor the Father. And let no one deceive themselves. If you don't worship and honor the Son, you do not worship and honor the Father who sent the Son to save you. If they didn't have enough material to charge him with blasphemy before now, they sure do. His big old "you ain't seen nothing yet" makes the claim that he will be raising the dead and that he'll be the one. He will be the one before whom every human being will stand, and he will be the judge, and he will be the one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he, Jesus, is Lord, is Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. And now, people loved by God, we come to one of the most beautiful and precious verses in this whole gospel. Savor these words. Hold them. Never let them go. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Another, "Amen, amen." You can take it to the bank of heaven. It's that rock solid. And this is what's rock solid. That whoever, that means don't you be writing yourself out of this. Don't you think that you've screwed up so badly that you're a hopeless case. No way. Whoever hears, gives an ear to my word and believes him who sent me. That is, believes that I am my Father's Son and that what I'm promising you is no lie, but fundamental truth. Whoever believes that has, present tense, has eternal life, is already right now a possessor of the life that does not end. Zoe life, not just bios, God's life, not just biological life that runs down and ends in death, and even more, does not come into judgment. Chrysostom, the golden mouth preacher from the 4th century, he says that means is not punished. Because the death you pass out of here is not the death of the body, but eternal death, homily 39 on John. Cyril and the old King James, they tried to make it a little clearer by rendering it is not condemned. It's a bit of a paraphrase, but that surely is the Lord's meaning here. Whoever believes that he is the Son sent by the Father and holds on to his promises, that person will not be condemned. He will pass from death to life. Already? St. Augustine's like, yeah, a resurrection has already occurred from death to life, from unbelief to faith, from lies to truth, from sin to righteousness. And so the Lord Jesus wants to let us in on the resurrection of the dead that takes place before the resurrection of the dead bodies. Baptism. Raised from the death of sin, God's new life planted inside of you because you've been planted into him. Tractates on the Gospel of John, number 21. This is what John would later rejoice in the book of Revelation. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Baptism puts death in your rearview mirror. You're cruising down the Lord's highway, and the way is wide open for you to travel home. And know that there in the Son, you will find a welcome by a Father who loves his Son and loves you in his Son. As the church's great poet Thomas Kingo put it, "All who believe and are baptized shall see the Lord's salvation. Baptized into the death of Christ, they are a new creation. Through Christ's redemption, they shall stand among the glorious heavenly band of every tribe and nation." All because Jesus has brought promises that through believing, you will not enter into condemnation, but pass from death to life. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. For any size gift by the end of 2019, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Whedon's devotional book, Celebrating the Saints. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.